Oh, wait. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Messy and Co. Wait, I'm did the
We're live.
We are so live. Like, we're totally live, but I'm actually just to get us started.
Jordi.
Messi Anko, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alex wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the three of five singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en dolor y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi and Co. Estate listo pa' Messi and Co.
Okay, now we're back.
We're a little rusty, I think.
Welcome, welcome. Yeah, we were just, dusting off the cobwebs a little bit, but welcome to a new episode and new season of Messy and Co. 2026 edition. I'm Ashley here as always with my incredible co-host Gian. And well, happy new year, Gian. Welcome back. We're so happy to be back. The season is like the preseason starts in 11 days, like so much to talk about already. But first and foremost, how was your holiday, your new year, all that good stuff while we've been kind of seeing the news come in?
It's been good. I feel like busy, like news watching. It's just with Inter Miami, everything is happening so fast.
So much is
It's like the
happening.
wheels are always turning. As soon as the season was over, there were already transactions being done. Rumor, it was just it's been crazy keeping up with that. But the new year's been good. It's been pretty good. The weather's been nice here in Miami. I'm excited about the new stadium, so I've been thinking about that a lot. But yeah, I'm good, and I'm excited to get back to talking Inter Miami. There's a lot to talk about, definitely.
So much to talk about. Yeah, no, same, me too. As people have probably noticed, I'm in a new place, the different place than I've been towards the end of last season. And if you could tell by the guitars or not, I'm in Nashville. Still an Inter Miami fan, obviously got that here, but I'm in Nashville for the time being. I plan to be back by the time the regular season starts, so no worries about that. But a little different. But yeah, we're really excited. I see some friends who are joining us. What's going on? Aloha. Happy to be back. Been a few weeks. Yeah, this is a good time slot. Okay, good. That's good to know. We want to obviously do our shows with the most people as possible. And yeah, and so, kicking off the show, I mean, there's so much to talk about. Only been just a little over a month since Inter Miami were MLS Cup champions. I think we should take a moment and remember that. It's pretty sweet having an off season and, going into the off season, the break, being the champions of MLS, knowing we have all of these teams watching us and opportunities to sign really good players. And we knew we already know as of last episode that, the players we've lost, which is Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets, and Jenna Wayne got, for example, a few that aren't, going to be coming back that we knew we already had to start working to replace to get the season to reach the heights of last season. And looks like Inter Miami are really trying to do that. So to start that, I think we should start with who we talked about in our last episode that we it was breaking news mid-show, our final show of the year, which was Dane St. Clair, goalkeeper from Minnesota United, who was the 2025 goalkeeper of the year, two-time MLS All-Star, official signed for Inter Miami, expected to be starter for Inter Miami. Rocos Rios Nova looks like he's staying to be a to be the backup again, slash maybe the cup goalkeeper. I'm not sure. Kind of have to see how that plays out. But that's a really big signing for Inter Miami. And we talked about it briefly then, but I think let's talk about it now. This team is really continuing to try and get the best of the best and create, to create space between them and everyone else, right? And it starts in the back.
Of course. I think that along with the defense, part of that was the goalkeeping. There were definitely issues there last season, throughout the season. Obviously, it seemed like it got better towards the end of the season, but definitely an area where they felt like they could improve, Inter Miami, and they went out and found literally the best person that they could find for the job in MLS, a goalkeeper of the year. And, you know, they had to go through, I think, some ups and downs at that position. They obviously... Drake Callender got injured at the U.S. camp and then wasn't able to play. Then they had to go out and get a guy like Ustari, who seemed like he was pretty good, at least at the beginning. And then kind of his level of play dropped down a bit. Then they brought in Rios Novo, who played instead of Ustari, who did, I think, pretty well as the game started going through and really was, I think, is a starting caliber goalkeeper, especially after what we saw in that playoff run. And he's a MLS Cup winning goalkeeper. He is a starting caliber. So the fact that they felt like they could go beyond that and still get somebody better and get St. Clair is huge. And then the fact that it looks like Rios Novo is coming back. And for you to have him, a starting caliber goalkeeper, as somebody that is right behind on the bench, ready to step in a moment, I think is huge. And as I was thinking about that, I think they're also, I don't know how much of them thinking maybe that Rios No wasn't a starting caliber goalkeeper was really what led them to go out and look for St. Clair. I think more about it was preparing for the 2026 season, looking back at that 2025 season and realizing we played, what was it, 50 something games in a season, that they had multiple tournaments. And looking into this season where they've been able to renew Messi, they're going into another, the second season of a, not to use the same word, but a seasoned Mascherano, a guy that has a year under his belt, where they don't just want to win MLS Cup. They want to win CONCA Champions. They want to win the MLS Cup. They want to win they want to win supportership. This is a season where they are going to win everything in their mind, and they know that they can't ride one starting keeper throughout all those 50 games. It's impossible. So they're going to need, at this point, two starting caliber goalkeepers, which they do have. And I think that's going to be huge for them, because they're not going to drop a beat in goal, whether they're in one tournament or the other. You're going to see a lot of playing time, I think, for both keepers. Rios No is going to get a lot of playing time in my eyes, but wow. Yeah. What an upgrade, and just a great job by Inter Miami.
Great job. No, it's a great job, and you know, obviously, part of next season is also just you're opening a new stadium, right? You're seeing the next level and phase of Inter Miami, becoming the staple of South Florida and of soccer in the United States. You know, we're a few months off from the World Cup, which is crazy to think about. And, you know, Miami is becoming this epicenter of soccer. And with that, you see teams are choosing the best they can. And that includes Inter Miami trying to establish themselves as getting the best of the best. So happy to have Dane Sinclair on board. And I see a couple comments about, you know, talking about the winger, offense, striker. Are we going to be getting someone? Still unsure about what's going to happen with Allende. Before we get there, we're going to kind of, I think, go up the pitch. And so that means next would be defense. And so since we spoke, Gian, we talked about it. Obviously, we knew about Sergio Reguilón, who was signed and who was most likely going to be the immediate replacement for Jordi Alba on that as a left side center back, or excuse me, as a left wing back. And or just left back in general. Obviously, I won't say it is a perfect, you know, a perfect sub, because obviously that's not realistic. It's you know, he's Jordi Alba was one of the best, but we have a few others who have joined also. And, you know, we're trying to establish what is that, you know, best back four going to be. What are your thoughts on Facundo Mora? Start with Argentina.
Okay. You threw me a curveball there. We went from the left to the right. So
yeah, I know I did. Well, I did that on purpose, cause I like to keep you on your toes.
All right, so I was like all focused in on the left side. So
well, you can start with whoever you want. You can start with whatever you want, honestly.
I'm joking. So Facundo Mura, obviously comes from Racing, a really important player for that Racing team. I have Argentinian friends, their whole family are Racing fans, telling me about how good of a player he was and how he's going to be missed on that team. As we said, a right back, and a guy that really, I think, is going to help Inter Miami, not only defensively, but on the attack, somebody that can make those runs high up, kind of like Jordi did on that left side. Mm-hmm. But not to get ahead of myself on that left side, but what they've done is they're finding guys that have the speed to be able to get back in time to help defend the counterattack, because that's something that we saw Inter Miami as a team that maintains possession in a lot of these games, and in where a lot of these teams, they play a lower block on them, they wait, they give Inter Miami possession. What happens is Miami will get a lot of players up front, and when they lose the ball, maybe a careless pass, a lot of times they'd have trouble tracking back, and we saw them get in trouble a lot of times, get scored right on that quick counter. So they needed guys that could track back and be able to help the center back, so that guys like Falcón and at the time Noah wouldn't find themselves in these one-on-ones where they were getting beat, because you know, yeah, they're not the fastest, especially Falcón. So I think Falcón Nomura is a really good player to bring in. And it's I think interesting too, because a lot of people thought that Ian Frey was going to be the starter,
yeah,
on that right side. And we have to remember, he's a natural center back, but his versatility to be able to play on that right side was really something that I think helped this team out. But at the end of the day, I don't think of Facundo Mura, a player that is that good from a team like Racing, is going to come here and sit on the bench. I don't think he would have even taken the contract to come in here to Miami if that was the conversation being had. I think he takes the starting position from Ian Frey, and I think Ian Frey finds himself either at center back or at times slotting in as a defensive midfielder, even at times when needed. He's a versatile player, which is really important.
100%. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of comments to get through, and I want to make sure we're doing that because we want this to be a really interactive show, and we haven't gone there. So I'm going to keep going back and forth. First one, though, Dimka said, stadium roofing still not covered. They only have 3 months left. I will say I've been here for a few weeks now, but the last time I saw the stadium, it, like every day, it, crazy amount of progress. Like it's going at a fast rate. It'll be ready.
They had the awning last time I passed by. Yeah, I mean,
it'll be ready.
I'm not an awning expert, so I don't know necessarily how completed it was, but it was definitely surrounding the top part of the stadium. So, but yeah, I mean, the point is valid. They only have 3 months or so. So yeah, they need to get going, because it's still not, it doesn't look like it's near completion.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to be one of those things where a lot happens at once, so that'll be interesting. This is a question, but Anthony, I see your question about the MLS new schedule and when it's going to actually happen. We don't have any updates on that. I will just say, like, because I don't have any updates and I want to keep going back. I think it said 2027 or 2028. I'm not sure. Whatever was the MLS, press release that went out, it is passed and approved, which is amazing, and that's great. It will take, I think, at least probably 2 seasons before it's into effect, or at least one. If we see updates on that, we will keep you posted, because that obviously would be really important and a new step.
Yeah, for MLS. It's a 2027 through 2028 season, and I believe that they're going to, I think it's in 2026 is where they make a slight change.
This year.
In order to make the 2027-2028 season, it's a little convoluted there, but the when it does take effect is 2027-2028.
Yeah, so soon, and as we learn more, we'll tell you more. But hey, that's part of why Messi came, also, right? Because it's you're trying to make MLS one of the best leagues in the world, and that's part of what you know.
I brought it up here just if I can read it. So it's the MLS season for now for 2026 is going to continue February to December, but then in 2027 we have a condensed, almost like standalone season that takes place from February to May. So mm-hmm. That's going to be a really condensed season in 2027. That way they can go ahead and start mid to late July 2027 for the 2028 season. So that's where the transition happens, is in 2027 with a really short season.
That's smart, though, the way they do it. And right after a World Cup year or two, it's a smart time to do it. And then this one, before I get back to the defense, never know when you guys are going to be on. That's fair. Like we said, it, you know, towards the end of last year, we had the holidays coming up. We had just done really from February or even January of last year to December with very little breaks. You know, it's we basically do this all year round. So we were just kind of had holidays traveling. I moved, a couple things got settled. All of that being said, we are going to be back now to our regular weekly episodes. Today it was on Tuesday, but I think Gian and I are going to kind of confirm, but we probably will stick with Mondays. We're not sure, but we will have that day and time figured out, and it will be the same every single week. We will be doing one episode a week for sure for now. I mean, obviously, if crazy things happen, we will do, we'll do if necessary.
Yeah, we're going to shoot for Mondays. So
Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah, that is, I know obviously today's Tuesday, but starting next Monday, kind of back on that routine. And that is where you'll be able to see us. So that's when, you know, we'll be on. Make sure you subscribe to 5 Reasons Football Channel to be able to see it. Really excited for another season. We have a lot of exciting things planned. And already ready to roll. So back to this conversation about Facundo Mora and what that's going to look like for the defense. I thought this was a really good comment by Ace Leonel, loving the defensive competition, because the truth is, you know, Ian Frey, in my opinion, like, you know, if Frey slots into CB, that wouldn't be a bad choice. Ian Frey is still, he's a caliber starter, like no doubt about it. And so whether, you know, right now, I think there's some maybe competition or not sure about who's going to be the center back pairing. You know, you have obviously Maxi Falcón, who played almost all of last season. You have Noah Allen. You have Ian Frey, Tomas Aviles. And then on the left is obviously Sergio Reguilón. But there's going to need to be a lot of rotation. And also, like we said, I think I could see a world where really, I mean, we're going to talk about another defender that we just signed, but you know, there could be a day where you have you know, Reguilón is, let's say, on the bench or being rotated. You have Noah Allen as left back, you have Maxi Falcón, you have Ian Frey, you have Mora, for example, right? Like that could be a very possible thing, or you have Sergio and Noah's on the bench. There's lots of options. So we'll have to wait and see. I think that overall though, Facundo Mora is a big signing, obviously a caliber starter or a starting caliber player. I think I said that backwards. A starting caliber player who, back to what we've been saying, and what I think is probably going to be the theme of a lot of this year, is that, you know, with outside of just Messi and now obviously no Jordi, no Sergio Busquets, you're going to see Inter Miami trying to be the very best in every position. You know, before it was sort of just like top heavy and it was having Messi and figuring out what pieces to put around it. You had the Luis Suarez, you had Busquets, Alba, etc. Now, you know, we have Rodrigo De Paul, who's cemented in. We probably have Yannick Bright, who's cemented in, for example, who we would consider to be one of the greater players. You have Messi, you have Suarez who's coming back. You have then Matteo Sovetti, who we saw absolute baller, who we're really excited to have. Baltasar Rodriguez, I think we're hoping to keep, I think. But, you know, we're going to see. So it's about making the very best available option at every position. And in that situation, you may see this season, look, Maxi Falcón was an absolute beast for us last season, but maybe this season you see a world where he's not in your best four of your AA team, or maybe he's part of a rotation. I don't know. You don't know. Maybe Ian Frey is. So we'll have to wait and see. But someone else who we now have as part of that conversation is Mikael de Santos Silva, obviously center back coming from Palmeiras. Big name as well. What are your thoughts?
Mikael Palmeiras, it's a guy that did really well for the Dynamos. Really well. He played over 80 games for them. And he was a guy that was highly rated for them. He played very well. And then he ended up getting a chance to go to Palmeiras. If Palmeiras reaches out to you and you get a chance to play for them, you do it. So that's why he left Houston. Definitely
imagine learning from Thiago Silva first season. Like, that's exactly pretty.
Like the sentiment over there at Palmeiras, however, was that he really didn't get his, what would you say? Like he didn't find his confidence. He didn't find his best level of play in Palmeiras. Unfortunately, he didn't play the same way that he played here in when he was in the MLS, the same way he played in Houston. He's a player that I think they said that when he played for Palmeiras, the only thing he could really do was track back, and he didn't play really a lot of touching, being able to have that vision on the field, being able to move up. He was basically a player that was always tracking back. Again, I just think that there are players that sometimes will have success in one team, go to a team where the style of play doesn't fit them. Maybe the coach doesn't have the same confidence that the other coach had him. And for him, it's more, I mean, obviously the allure is there to play with a team that just won MLS Cup, to play with Messi. The allure is there. But I feel like, along with other players that have done this in the past, he's probably taking a pay cut, and it's more like a redemption story for him to say, hey, Palmeiras was something that didn't work out for me, but at the end, I'm going to show you what I got. I'm going to go to this team that is an excellent team, that is a championship team, and I'll show my worth. And he's probably going to try to get to the same level he had in Houston. And for us, I think it's a big deal, because we have to realize he's probably going to play left center back. So he'll play along next to, I think, probably Falcón. And he's lefty. And that really helps for us when we need a guy that's hopefully going to be able to open the ball into a running Reguillón on that left side. You need a guy that has that who's left-footed as a left center back, and that's very helpful in making those types of passes and putting through balls, as opposed to being a right-footed player. So I think he fits perfectly into this system, and he plays really good, and he's got the pedigree. So I'm really excited for that, and I think he starts right away.
Yeah, and I think it's just important overall to say that, like, you know, we're getting players who are playing in the top flights of, you know, really big leagues in the world, right? We're not just seeing from, you know, like maybe in the beginning of Inter Miami, you know, players who are coming from smaller leagues, smaller divisions, other places. I mean, we're getting obviously like Brazil Serie A, we're getting, you know, the Argentinian First League, we're getting, you know, Premier League, we're getting La Liga, you know, and that's, I think, just important. Meaning, again, we're seeing a whole level of play go up. I also think you may even see situations for Inter Miami where they do like a 3-5-2, depending on how, not always, but I'm just saying, you know, you may see situations depending on who you're playing where you have, you know, three center backs. You have Falcón, you have Dos Santos, and you have Dos Santos Silva, and you have Ian Frank. You know, you're giving Mascherano a lot of things to play with.
Yeah, I mean, if you can see a 3-5-2, depending, I think that would be more of a situational formation, right? Maybe towards the end of a game. Starting wise, I mean, you're going to go with what worked this season. And for me, it's having those two center backs and the left back and the right back. But yeah, when you have a game that is maybe closer at the end and you need that extra presence in the defense, you definitely have a good amount of players that you can pick from. About, you know, Maxi Falcón, Noah Allen, Ian Frey, Mikael.
Tomas Aviles.
Well, Aviles, if he's even here, I really don't feel like he's going to be here soon. Yeah. Honestly, the way it's going, just because of the amount of money that they're paying him, because of the fact that he has had trouble in the past staying on the field. His level has dropped. I mean, and obviously Mascherano lost the confidence in that player. He didn't see the field for quite some time. So Aviles is, I think his days are numbered here in Inter Miami. Plus, you look at some of the numbers, you start to do some of the math, you see what Inter Miami is having to invest in bringing in some of these top flight players. I mean, it's just the money doesn't make sense to have it invested and held up when you have such a small cap in a player like Aviles, who really isn't going to be getting much playing time next season.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I mean, also, you know, Ian Frey and Noah Allen, they both signed new contracts. They could be also, I mean, they could be loan options for teams, right? Like, we're getting a lot of good players in. Our players, you know, a lot of other teams can want them too. So it'll be exciting to see. And I really, really like what you said earlier, like, now that we don't have Sergio Busquets, like, you may be able to try a couple things where you, I mean, Ian Frey is so technically gifted. We say that every time we watch him, that he has the technical ability, the speed, the physicality to maybe play in the midfield. I don't know. We'll have to see.
That's what this team likes to do when they build and bring in players. They like players that are versatile. You can tell Noah Allen could play center back and play left back. Ian Free can play right back and play defensive midfielder. Telasco Segovia can play more towards the center or more out wide on the left. Adeo Allende can play as a center forward or on the right. Messi plays wherever the hell he wants. There are players that can move around depending on what this team needs. And yeah. I think that that's very evident in how they're building this team now and who they're bringing in, that they're like, okay, wherever I need them to play, we'll have them, you know, and Mascherano's not afraid to move people where he needs them to be. And yeah, definitely Ian Frey's one of those pieces.
100%. Yeah. It's going to be really fun and exciting. And you said it earlier, look, 50 plus games, we're in a lot of, we want to be the best in every tournament, every place we play. And this team, I think also the team is preparing themselves for however many of them could be part of their international team this summer, right? Like you're really trying to put yourself on show. So it'll be interesting to see. I think to your point, it's not done yet. There's going to be a couple more pieces probably moved in or out. We're not still 100% sure. And Allende, we know that Inter Miami are trying very hard to retain him. But the final player I want to talk about, not in general, but the one in terms of new signings that I wanted us to mention, is David Ayala, who is coming from Portland Timbers and played for Estudiantes in Argentina, defensive midfielder, a piece that the Inter Miami, maybe not as your starter, maybe as your starter, but like we mentioned earlier, with the departure of Sergio Busquets, we think we love Yannick Wright and know the talent, but obviously you want to have options, balance, and depth in general. And so I think David Ayala is a good signing for the team to make. I'm curious what your thoughts are on him or how much you've seen of him.
Yeah, he played very well for Portland. And that's what Inter Miami is doing. They're bringing in players. They're taking chances on some guys like Mikael, again, but that didn't do so well in Palmeiras. But they're also going after players that did really well in their teams. You talk about...
And that are good in the MLS. That's important. Sorry to interrupt. We're getting players who are good in MLS because we want to be a team that's the best in MLS.
Exactly. And they're bringing in David Ayala that got plenty of playing time in Portland that did very well at that defensive midfielder possession. And
former Inter Miami coach.
You lose Busquets and it's impossible to replace him one for one. I mean, that shouldn't be the goal here, because if that's the goal, you're going to feel like you are not, you're losing out on anybody that you bring in. The goal is to bring in the player that you need most at that position with the right skill set, and what this team, knowing how they play, what they need. And I think David Ayala was a perfect fit for this spot, because mm-hmm. he's going to fit in directly for Busquets. He's
with Rodrigo de Paul, yep.
With Rodrigo de Paul. Rodrigo de Paul is going to move up, play a little ahead of him now. He's not going to play as far back trying to help Busquets. He's going to move up. And then on the left side, you'll probably have Telasco Segovia. You may have Baltasar if he returns. Yep. You have plenty of options to play ahead with de Paul. But David Ayala is a guy that can pass very well, plays very good defense, which you need at that position. I think that...
And energy, great energy.
Great energy. And looking at what he did and what Busquets did, obviously the vision is not... Nobody's going to have that vision that Busquets did. But one of the things that he will have over Busquets is the ability to run back, obviously. With Busquets at that age, he did his best, but we know that he wasn't making the run, you know, running back in time or as fast. There were times where he was getting burned. I think that David Ayala is going to kind of have that presence in there where you don't have to be afraid. He will be able to track back. He will be able to keep up with the speedy tens, with speedy attackers to be mm-hmm. able to help the center backs on that when they get counterattacked. And then you have Yannick Wright as well at that position as well. So it's really, I think it, somebody mentioned earlier that they like that battle in the defense. Well, we're going to have a battle
as
well. And basically all those positions other than De Paul, you're going to have a battle for that position right next to the ball again, whether it's Baltasar if he's back, whether it's Telasco Segovia, whether it's Ayala that actually plays with Yannick Wright at the same time. Or if it's
maybe you see DePaul be a really attacking role. Yeah.
Or is it one or the other? Is it Ayala or Yannick Wright? Right. The options are there. And the fact that you, like, Ash, I'm thinking the midfield, David Ayala, Yannick Wright, Telasco Segovia, Rodrigo De Paul, possibly Baltasar back. Who am I missing? David Ruiz.
David Ruiz, yeah.
I mean, they have so many good options in here. You're talking about, you can field
Ian Frey, maybe.
Yeah, and then go back to what we said earlier. Even Ian Frey possibly playing at that defensive midfielder position. Mm-hmm. You have about 6-7 starting caliber players that you can field any team for any given competition and feel confident in their midfield. So this David Ayala signing is really good, and I see him as a starter right away, probably.
100%. You may even see a situation where they do maybe like a false nine with Messi, and they try and do a, you know, you have either Segovia or Baltasar play up with Silvetti if we don't have Allende, for example, right? Like, because we still, with the attacking options, we're not 100% sure what the best available are going to end up being. We know Messi's going to be there, and we know Matteo Silvetti. That's the only guarantees we have.
Yeah, I still think that this team is looking out there. I believe that they're looking for, if they're not re-signing Allende, and even if they are, let's say they're able to bring Allende back, I think that they're looking for an attacking wing. That's the
point that
they
would have.
They
attacking
need
a wing, yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I mean, again, you know, that's Segovia is a player who we've seen had to a couple of times last season play as the left attacking winger. And it has his ability to score. Like he scored a couple bangers last year, right? So you may see that Messi coming off the right. Maybe you even see Matteo Silvetti as your number nine. There's a lot of different things you'll that this team can do. I think the having midfield options of Rodrigo De Paul, Ayala, and then Yannick Bright as your core, at least two of your defenders, and then having your options like a Segovia, Rodriguez, like we said. So far, the acquisitions that we've seen, and I think just circling back, we know Luis Suarez is going to be back. We don't know in what capacity. We imagine it's going to be, off the bench. But
he's basically going to be a UD.
And what a great – and that, there's something for people who are not native Miami people or not Miami Heat fans. You look up Udonis Haslem. That's everyone's homework. It's like last year I gave everyone homework. Look at the AI practice, or not AI, Allen Iverson. You have to say it now because AI means something else. The Allen Iverson, we're talking about a practice clip. Like that, the Udonis Haslem, what he brought to the team was so important to winning championships. And it's about having just that leadership and that teacher. And so that's probably going to be a big part of Luis Suarez's role. But, you know, in terms of immediate things that we've seen after winning the championship, we said, look, we know we're losing Busquets and Alba. What is this team doing directly to impact that? And I would say they've done it with these all the players we talked about today, with Sergio Reguilon. You know, obviously that's like that's the obvious quote unquote one, David Ayala, the obvious one. But then Dane St. Clair, maybe not obvious, but now we have a certified A-plus starter in goal. And Rios Novos did great last year. I'm glad to have him. He will get plenty of playing time. But now you're starting with an even strong, you know, to help with your defense. You have Miguel Dos Santos Silva, great to help with your defense. Facundo Mora, really great to have with your defense, right? And so immediately Inter Miami is trying to do, I almost want to say it's like, kind of what's the movie with the Moneyball kind of thing where you have it's kind of mixing both, which is one is you just have all stars play, but then the other one is like build your team to be people who can just get on base, right? That's like the Moneyball theory. It's not about who's like the best, but when you have the best in Messi, and now let's say you have the best in Dane St. Clair, you have the best in Rodrigo De Paul, well, now it's about building all of the other pieces that all are net positives. Because if you get enough net positives on the field connecting, then your best are going to be best, right? And so that's what I think this Inter Miami team are trying to do, instead of just doing two direct replacements with just, you know, the best available. They got multiple really good options that gives the team, the coach, flexibility and competition to get the best you can get.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. While you were saying that, I had like math equations going all over my head. That was a crazy, I don't even know what to call it. But
you don't think it's similar to Moneyball?
That was deep. That was really deep. The connections you made there. So I'm not even going to try to follow that. But I
think said the team is bringing in pieces to try and not replace, but to manage, right? The holes we lost, being able to fill them and then have options.
Okay. I'll trust you. You just blew my brain on there. So did we talk about Sergio Reguillon? Like, I think we
talked about him briefly in the last episode.
So I just wanted to mention one thing about Sergio Reguillon. To replace Jordi with Sergio Reguillon, I think you don't have that offensive, the same offense, because he's a forward attacking, a fullback. He's basically like having another 10, but from the left, kind of like you had with Jordi. I think that obviously Jordi was a better finisher when he had the ball. He was better at connecting with Messi. I mean, that relationship that he had, I think, is impossible to replicate with anybody. But one thing I think that you will get with Sergio Reguillon over Jordi Alba is the ability to track back. And I feel like Jordi Alba kind of did have issues with that towards the end of the season, not tracking back in time, getting beat, that sort of thing. So I think that Sergio Reguillon will have more speed, will be find himself in positions to be able to cover attacks better on that left side than Jordi Alba. So I think in that case, it's an improvement.
Noah Allen brings the same energy and speed, right?
Yeah, Noah Allen can play on that left side as well. So, I mean, you basically have your two starting left backs if Noah Allen does slot back in there. So, but yeah, like you were saying, like this team has done really good to not only fill the spots that were left by legends as best as they could, and filling Busquets and Jordi's shoes, but also just finding ways to make this team better, which is crazy because you think about a team that just won MLS Cup and look, the discourse
competitive in every position.
Exactly. Yeah. And the discourse around social media has been most of these teams after winning an MLS Cup don't look the same going into the next season, whether for financial reasons or players just obviously getting the spotlight on them because they're on a championship team and then getting opportunities to go and play in other teams and moving to Europe or going to South America and losing players. This team has been able to, I think, pretty well be able to stay intact as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And where they haven't been able to stay intact for reasons that are outside of their, outside of their hands, they've been able to get better, which is crazy. So this team, somehow you lose Busquets and you lose Jordi Alba, but I think it's when you sum it all together, it's kind of a net positive. Like they've almost become better somehow, which is like, I don't know if you feel that way, but I feel like this team got better.
I think they got deeper. And I think what will decide if they get better or not is that now you have a true, for I would say eight of maybe seven of the 11 positions on the outfield. Seven of them, it could be really a conversation for multiple people, right? And so that means everyone is going to have to be at their best, trying and trying, you know, getting the best you can on the field. And so I'm not sure yet, but I think comparable and the ability to be better, yes. And that's all you could ask for before we played, right? You could ask that they tried to continue the momentum and having Inter Miami be this premier club who can win multiple competitions every year and has becomes, you know, the greatest team in North America. That's what you want to see. And that's partly how they did it. And look, we'll see, because in 11 days, the preseason kicks off already. It feels like just yesterday we were finishing season. But look, when you make it to the last game and then you get ready for the first pregame, they happen closer than you think. So obviously this is going to start in Lima, Peru. It's going to go to Medellin, and then it's going to go to Guayaquil. So a little South American tour, thankfully not as intense of a tour as last year, right, where they went to South America, and then they went to Saudi Arabia and China and all that, and it was crazy. But it'll be really fun, and I guess, you know, we're back, right? Is there anything to say? But we're back, and the team's rested. Messi's rested. And they're
rested.
we're rested. We're pretty rested. And I think we're ready to be back. And the first home game for Inter Miami isn't until April 4th, but we have 3 months of a lot of action that we're going to see starting in 11 days. I'd say before we wrap up this episode, do you think before our episode Monday, there will be another big transaction for Inter Miami, whether it's incoming or outgoing?
I think a big signal of that is going to be whether Aviles gets moved or if it, look, here's, it's funny. They say that there's an indicator for in Washington, D.C. that says that monitors a certain pizza place. I don't know if you've heard about this, because what happens is that when there are a lot of people ordering at the pizza place across Washington, D.C., across the Pentagon, that means that they have a meeting. They're going late into the night, so they're ordering pizza. Mm. So that indicates that something's brewing, a war or an attack.
Oh, God. Okay, okay. So
in that same way, I'm going to say that the indicator here for Inter Miami, if they will be making a next move, is the U-20, a big move, rather, is the U-22 slots. Because right now they have four U-22 slots. They're all filled. Because they have four U-22 slots, they're only able to do the four U-22 and two DP route. So they have the two DPs and they have four. If they're going to bring in another DP, watch those U-22s. See if they buy somebody down or if they sell somebody. Who I think is, they're selling Aviles. They're going to get him out of that U-22 spot. They're going to sell him. They're going to get money for him. And then they're going to get the DP. That's how I think it's going to go. But if you really want to know if it's going to happen, pay attention to the U-22s and see what.
Is David Ruiz the U-22?
David Ruiz, I don't believe, is a U-22, no.
I don't think so either, yeah. But yeah, I agree. It will be, I think, very telling. And also, if we hear anything about Allende, those two things, either someone like an Aviles being sold out or, you know, Allende either signing with another club or confirming staying with Inter Miami, those will be domino pieces, I think.
Yeah. I want to say something before we leave. And I want to know how you feel. And I want to know what chat feels. How you guys feel about this. Dude, we didn't even get a parade. Like, we didn't get a parade. And
you know, when the new rings are coming in.
Yeah, we didn't get a parade. And we didn't even get anything, a celebration, which is actually crazy to me. Like, if you typically do a celebration, but if you're not, at least do something at the stadium. Where you're going to, you know, celebrate and do a ceremony. Like, this is absolutely nuts to me that this Inter Miami team wins the first MLS Cup in their history. And they did nothing, literally nothing. I'm literally bewildered. Like, I don't understand that. I've gone to Heat parades.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, I'm pretty up there. And like, I've been around for a while and the Dolphins haven't won anything. So I can't say I've gone to anything there, but the Heat.
Right, you're not that much older than me.
No, I know. But the point is, I say that to say that the Dolphins haven't won anything in a long ass time, but I've gone to Heat parades. My team in Ecuador has won, Liga de Quito. They've done parades around Quito, but this team
literally just did a parade for the Europa League.
Right, and this team did nothing. That's absolutely nothing. I don't know.
Well, and I was going to say this because, this is what I've heard too. Michelle Kaufman, obviously part of the, we're seeing a couple of the comments here. I think the big thing is that they want it to be at the new stadium. So I think the plan is right before the stadium opens, there's going to be some events and things like that to celebrate the championship and kick off the new place. I mean, I wish
there was strike while the iron is hot. I'm sorry. Dude,
I wish there was a parade. Maybe they didn't, you know.
You're gonna do it like I'm sorry. 3 months later is like, dude, I got something to do. I have to go play dominoes. I have to like.
It's only been a month.
It's gonna be 3 months later. Yeah. Like, who the hell's going to a parade or a celebration 3 months after the fact? I'm like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing maybe like this is Claudio said it, like banners, new ring ceremony. Like, I think that's what it's gonna be. But I agree, they should have done one. They should have done a big official one. I think it's part of this team that is still learning. And you know, again, this is still, we're now entering year six, right? That was only year five. Huh?
Maybe they needed the money for the signings, all these signings that they're making.
Yeah, right. And, or to pay for the stadium. I mean, either way, I think I would have liked the celebration too, but all we can do is be excited for this new season, the new stadium, the new home of Inter Miami. a lot of great new players to join, a lot of exciting things happening. And so we are so happy to be back. And like we said, we'll be at least every single week, Mondays, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Put it in your calendar or whatever like that. We're going to try really hard not to change them. Obviously, emergencies happen, things happen, but we're both pretty settled and back from our traveling that we were ready to be back. And it's super, super exciting. So thank you to everyone. I mean, I thought we had a pretty good amount of people on here and a lot of great comments in the chat. I think people are ready to get back into the flow of things for this Inter Miami team, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. So I just wanted to say this is true right here. We won the cup, and the next morning, Messi was in India with Tigers. So yeah, I'm excited. Like Ash said, we're gonna be here on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So we're gonna be. I think it's better that way, just so that everybody knows when to look out for us. So that's exciting. And then this team is doing so much, and I feel like as soon as you watch this episode, there'll be more breaking news. So
yeah.
I feel like there's going to be a lot to talk about next Monday, but I'm excited to be back. I'm excited for this team. This team continues to bring in top tier talent, excited for this new stadium, excited for this new season where I think we're going to win more than just one set of silverware. I think we're going to win a lot this season, and I'm just excited and excited to bring more content. So I appreciate you guys. I really do, for tuning in and for spending time with us and being able to talk with us and sharing through Miami with us.
100% agree. I couldn't have said it better myself. I off topic, but just last comment, the MLS opening against LAFC will be nuts. Sun Heung-min, I'm excited to see that, the new iteration of MLS in general, right? Like I'm they're really trying to take it up a step this season. And so I'm really excited to see all of it. It's going to be super awesome. And it starts here with these new signings, with preseason starting next week, and Messi and Co. being live every week with all your breaking news. So make sure you're following us on X at Messi and Co. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel at Five Reasons Football, where we're going to have episode content. Like we said, a lot of exciting stuff for this season. It's just getting started. We can't wait. So thank you for tuning in. And for this episode of Messi and Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian. And we will see you next time.
See you guys.
Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're not just looking for a place to live. You're searching for the one. That's where Realtor.com comes in. Like any good matchmaker, they know exactly where to look. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, you could find your perfect match today. Ranch style with a pool, barn dominium with an in-law suite, Realtor.com's got them. Modern craftsman with a big yard and a treehouse out back, Realtor.com will have you saying, yep, that's the one. No more swiping. It's time to start finding. Download the Realtor.com app today, cause you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2025 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings, July 2024 to June 2025.